Chapter 16, Unspoken Fear. After seeing Ambrose and Denna and Imre, I fell into a dark mood. On the walk back to the university, my head spun with thoughts of them. Was Ambrose doing this purely out of spite? How had it happened? What was Denna thinking? After a largely sleepless night, I tried not to think of it. Instead, I burrowed deep into the archives. Books are a poor substitute for female companionship, but they are easier to find. I consoled myself by hunting through the dark corners of the archives for the Chandrian. I read until my eyes burned and my head felt thick and cramped. Nearly a span passed, and I did little but attend classes and pillage the archives. For my pains, I gained lungs full of dust, a persistent headache from hours of reading by sympathy light, and a knot between my shoulder blades from hunching over a low table while I paged through the faded remains of the Gillian ledgers. I also found a single mention of the Chandrian. It was in a handwritten octavo titled A Quaint Compendium of Folk Belief. At my best guess, the book was 200 years old. The book was a collection of stories and superstitions gathered by an amateur historian in Ventus. Unlike the mating habits of the common Dracus, it made no attempt to prove or disprove these beliefs. The author had simply collected and organized the stories with occasional brief commentaries about how beliefs seemed to change from region to region. It was an impressive volume, obviously comprising years of research. There were 4 chapters about demons, 3 chapters for fairies, one of which was entirely devoted to tales of Felurian. There were pages on the Shamblemen, Rendlings, and the Tro. The author recorded songs about the Grey Ladies and White Riders, a lengthy section on Barrow Draugr. There were 6 chapters on folk magic, 8 ways to cure warts, 12 ways to talk to the dead, 22 love charms. The entire entry on the Chandrian was less than half a page. Of the Chandrian, there is little to be said. Every man knows of them. Every child chants their song, yet folk tell no stories. For the price of a small beer, a farmer will talk 2 hours on Dannerlings, but mention the Chandrian and his mouth goes tight as a spinner's ass, and he is touching iron and pushing back his chair. Many think it bad luck to speak of the Fae, yet still folk do. What makes the Chandrian different, I know not. One rather drunk tanner in the town of Hillsborough said in hushed tones, "If you talk of them, they come for you." This seems the unspoken fear of these common folk. So I write what I have gleaned, all common and inspecific. The Chandrian are a group of various number, likely 7, given their name. They appear and commit diverse violence for no clear reason. There are signs which herald their arrival, but there is no agreement as to these. Blue flame is the most common, but I have also heard of wine going sour, blindness, crops withering, unseasonable storms, miscarriage, and the sun going dark in the sky. Altogether, I have found them a frustrating and profitless area of inquiry. I closed the book. Frustrating and profitless had a familiar ring to it. The worst part wasn't that I already knew everything written in the entry. The worst part was that this was the best source of information I'd managed to discover in over 100 long hours of searching.